Hari Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahadiryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastama Vidvishavahai Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Sadigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
No, they can go all day. I mean, they go more at night, but they can. They can. They're not overly attached to one way or the other. Okay, so. Page 6. And then just looking at the Adhikarmas. Adhikarma, left 1. All living entities are eternal and subordinated to Godhead. Because you have to establish the eternality of the soul, otherwise, all material concepts are the soul is temporary and made of matter. Right? It means all of them. So then, whether, that has a connection to God or not or something like that, that's another point. But still, the element that the soul is eternal is not necessarily understood. Or they'll think the soul is eternal, but they don't know what the soul is made of, like that. In the same body, then you go to the spiritual world. So that means to the heavenly planets, but that technically only happens if you have a really good spirit material body, There are those who, in the same body they get here, are qualified to go to the heavenly planets with it. There's very few, these great kings and sages and stuff like that. So it's very important to establish that the living entity is not the body and they're eternal. Right? And then subordinated to God, because otherwise there'll be the aspect is that yes, of course, they're subordinate to God, but they're also enjoyers, so then you'll enjoy the heavenly kingdom and stuff like that. Because when anyone talks about going to heaven, you don't really hear much about God, interaction of God in heaven. Mm. Right? You'll go to heaven, you'll be happy, it'll be nice, it'll be a great facility. Right? So that aspect is there. So then, or is that then one will become God. So these take care of the two things of that. The material side of that, the soul is matter, and so it's temporary manifestation, or that they are become God. So this first Adhikarna cuts both the conclusions about the soul with karma and gyan. Right? Then Adhikarna 2, material nature is subordinated to God. So now, not only is the jiva subordinate, but the material nature is also. Because otherwise it's the cause of life, it's the cause of the soul, or it's eternal, so we'll go on and enjoying it eternally, all these different concepts. Adhikarna 3, the living entity is born of spiritual nature, but it has the tendency to enjoy material nature. Forgetfulness is the real nature, is the cause of its multifarious troubles. So now you're establishing that the soul is actually from the spiritual nature, not the material. But he has a tendency to enjoy the material. Right? That's the Tathasta position. And because of that, then because he's forgetting his real position as spiritual, that's why he suffers. Right? He's not suffering because that's his nature, to suffer, right? You know, so it's not some, how you say, you know. I mean, in other words, this point won't go down well with the French existentialists, right? You know, no, he was born suffering. It's his being, you know, all these kind of things like that. So it's not going to work like that. He's forgetful of his real nature. When he stops forgetting his real nature, then he doesn't have trouble. It doesn't mean that there aren't difficulties or in the way of, but it's not a trouble for him, right? It means something undertaken out of affection isn't considered trouble. Something undertaken without affection, that's trouble. Right? Does that make sense? You know, I'm talking about in relationship. Right? You know, which is fun that when you take it the other way, if you're attached or not attached, someone attached has trouble, someone who's not attached doesn't have trouble. So that means then you're unattached but performing activities with affection. You know, which is not something that one would normally consider. I see Dr. Seuss is coming. Wouldn't it have been better if it was like green and some other wild colors?
It was mercy of one devotee. I was meditating on getting one for a while, and then somehow or other came.
I see. Okay. Then, Adhikarana 4. Then Godhead comes himself or sends his confidential servants to reclaim these forgetful living entities. So the first three dealt with the forgetful living entity. Right? Or in general, the first one can deal with either, just the nature of the soul. Right? And then material nature. Now we're taking it here is that he's born from there, but he's here, so he's forgetful of that. So to lift them back to the position, or their natural position, of the eternal platform of subordinate to the Lord, then the Lord himself comes, or sends his confidential servants. Right? The forgetful entities can know Godhead only if he explains himself or is explained by his confidential service. Because through the material senses, material intelligence, and that, one can't understand. Right? The soul, by nature, can understand, but his intelligence, the mind, the senses, have all been, his conscience, all been covered by matter. Right, so being covered by matter, then you can't see the Lord, who is not covered by matter. Right? If it's covered by matter, then you can deal with matter. Right? But if it's uncovered, then you can perceive spirit. Right? And as we see, is that those who are in the spiritual world don't have any problem perceiving this place. You know what I'm saying? But from here, you can't see there. Just like you can see the reflection in the mirror. That's not a problem. You know, you can see the regular world, you can see the reflection in the mirror. You know what I'm saying? But the mirror, what sense does it have that could perceive you? You understand? So that's the whole point. Is it? Okay. Then, Adhikarana 5, the confidential servants of Godhead explain that any man can attain to transcendent loving service of Godhead by his own occupation. So, the Lord comes or sends his devotees, they explain who Godhead is. Now, you can apply that knowledge into your own life in whatever position it is. Right? His own occupation means according to his own nature. Following that, then one can go back to Godhead. It doesn't take a change, right? Because for the karmis, then, you know, there would have to be... It means their endeavors are engaged for their own personal benefit, right? And the jnanis, they have knowledge, but they don't do any endeavor, right? So you have the one without knowledge is endeavoring, the one with knowledge is not endeavoring. So the problem is when you have endeavor without knowledge and knowledge without endeavor, it never gives proper understanding, never gives realization. Mm-hmm. Right? So this is self-realization. So then it requires both. Mm-hmm. Right? So that means then in one's own occupation, otherwise then someone would have to take up and then, you know, it wouldn't work out. So if everybody was doing that, how would it function? No, you just continue in your own duties, whatever they are. Does that make sense? If one's not, of course, if one is not properly situated, one situates oneself properly. But even to do that, you start from your not well-situated position and start from there and bring it to where you're properly situated. Yes.
Couldn't that almost be considered a part of your occupation, regardless of your occupation?
Meaning?
To situate yourself properly.
Means any, of course, even to be materially successful, you have to follow the same thing. In other words, if a materialist wants to be successful, he still has to follow all the devotional principles. Because the point is the creation is made to serve God. You know what I'm saying? Creation is made so that the living entity can interact with God, and God can interact with the living entity. So just because some people don't use it that way doesn't mean it changes. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, people, they have a place to stay, right? They have a toilet. They have a bed, right? You know, they have some, you know, their personal effects. They sit together and eat. They have their activities together. They have their recreation together, right? Isn't it? That's where we go. Now, let's say the person is not qualified to be in regular society because of their mentality. Right? They have a criminal mentality. So they're put into a place meant for criminals. Right? But they still have a place, they have a toilet, you know, they have a bed. You know, it just happens to all be in a little ticky place. But whatever it is, it's still the same principle. Right? They eat together, they have their recreation together, they work together. But, you know, does that make sense? But, so, the rules are still established by the same governance. The governance establishes the rules for the free people, and it also for those who are in prison. Right? Same rules. Right? So the performing, so to properly perform your, to be situated properly in your occupation and to perform it properly, that's going to give you success wherever you're situated. In either one, because the same rules. Right? So since the whole system is for devotional service, that means the devotional rules are the ones that anybody should follow. Right? Doesn't it make sense? So in other words, the spiritual, the devotee, he is performing activities for Krishna. So he wants a good result for Krishna. Right? So there's a technique, a mechanics on how you get a good result. Right? So they only want a good result for Krishna, so they follow the best mechanics to get that result for Krishna. Does that make sense? Material world, then it's the same thing. You want the results, but for yourself. So if you want good results, you have to follow the same mechanics. Right? Does that make sense? So those with better karma, they follow the mechanics. Those with worse karma don't follow the mechanics. That's why one gets a good result, one doesn't. So you can't get out of the idea of devotional service. We'll take it, oh, devotional service, we're doing the same side thing, and everybody else is doing the main activities. No, we're doing the main activities, and depending how close they're coming to that, they're getting better or less results. You know what I'm saying? But the point is since you have to make exactly the same endeavor, and you'll get the same result, now you can do that all with the consciousness that's mine, and get a temporary benefit, or that it's Krishna's and get an eternal benefit. Right? Does that make sense? That's the choice. But the activity doesn't change. Right? Then, Adhikarna 6. This is possible because Godhead is both immanent and transcendental, impersonal and personal. Right? So, because he is transcendental, then he's beyond all this, but because the immanent, therefore, through your activities and services, you can also come in contact with the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? But because he's beyond it, he's actually the controller of it. He's the creator of it. Does that make sense? So very simple, right? Okay, so there. We went through that in what? You know, yes. 10 minutes, so we just summarized, you know, all the 100 pages, right? So, yes.
The Dasa Mool, isn't that 10 topics?
This was the Adhikaranas of the text we're studying.
Yeah, but it says in here it says in the context of the Dasa Mool.
So we hadn't looked at that one.
Okay.
We were just going through the 6 Adhikaranas of this.
Okay.
Of this. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah. So if that's there, then you understand your position, right? Because next, then we start getting into other aspects, into Abhideya, into Prayojana. But unless we understand the position, right? So a connection with the Dasa Mool is that here we dealt with the living entities, material nature, and they're both subordinate to Godhead, right? So then you're dealing with, and this knowledge then has to come from where, somewhere, right? That's always the first thing you have to establish. What is knowledge? You know, how do you define knowledge? Right? How do you perceive knowledge, right? You know, what is your epistemology and ontology, right? You know, what's truth and how do you go about perceiving it, right? So then here, the Vedas are the principal scriptural evidence. Right? So that's established. That's the first thing. You're not getting it from the senses or anything else. They're imperfect, so all that. So then 9 principles are established based on that. Then Krishna is the supreme absolute truth. He is omnipotent. He is the fountainhead of all relationships of love. So he is the supreme absolute truth. So then he's the ultimate goal that one's trying to get to, right? He's the omnipotent, so that means all these potencies, the material energy and all that, that is going on because of him, right? The living entities are from him, the internal potencies from him, the external is from him, right? So, and he's the fountainhead of all relationships of love and love. So what the living entity is looking for is that relationship and that love, right? But it's been perverted because we want to apply it for ourselves rather than a relationship to the Lord. Therefore, as it says, he has the tendency, then he has multifarious trouble. Right? You know, the Adhikarana makes the point. So if we understand, no, it's back in our relationship with the Lord, right? Then it works. So then we start here. Living entities are separated parts and parcels. Yes.
Whereas the devotee told me in the West, he told me that Krishna is almost everything and that we are almost nothing. You know, meaning the living entities. The living entities are insignificant. So Krishna is almost everything, but he's not us.
Means if you're looking at it from the Mayavadi point of view, is that everybody's, you know, you are me and I am you and we're all together, that kind of thing. Then yes, then we're separate, right? Is that
from the Mayavadi point of view?
Yeah, that's the Mayavadi philosophy.
Yeah,
that's what I said. The less intelligent means fool, right? And Mayavadis like to sit on hills, right? That don't make sense. You're not piecing it all together.
They like to sit on hills?
Yeah. I mean, that's just typical. You think of an Indian guru who's sitting on a hill somewhere, right? Okay, so...
Because we hear it in another...
You know, say, so Krishna is everything. He includes us, but we're separated parts and parcels. We're still coming from him. So he is still, we are still, but we're not... We are separate, so we're separately conscious. No, but Krishna is everything. And we're insignificant.
So we're simultaneously part of Krishna?
Yeah, that's why Achinta Veda Veda Tattva.
Right. But to think that one has an existence separate from Krishna is Maya.
One doesn't have existence separate. Just because one's separated doesn't mean you have an existence separate from.
But to think one does.
That's illusion.
And then to be aware of this connection, and this is Krishna consciousness.
Yes, yes.
That person is like 20 years or something, Krishna consciousness movement.
Well, they're probably looking at it from the point of the Mayavad element. You know, because devotees are very, very careful about anything that gets too close to Mayavad. But what they're making, the mistake is, see, the Mayavad philosophy, or let's say in specific, the impersonal philosophy up to liberation, there's technically no difference in the two, because it's our process to get to the liberated stage. Right? And then we continue from there to the platform of prema. But for the materialist, then he thinks getting to the stage of liberation is the ultimate goal, and that's fine. That's all you need to do. Right? So then that's where the problem comes in. Does that make sense? So that's why we'll say they're bogus. That you perform your duties without attachment to the results, that will liberate you. We say that, they say that. So this term, Naishkarma Karma Yoga, like that, it's not exclusively our term. The Mayavadis also use the term. It's just a standard method. You know, just like we say Achma, we do Achman, and the other, you know, members of the Pancharatra, they do it, the Vedic people do it, the Smartas do it, and everybody, it's the same thing. Does that make sense? The difficulty is this: they see it as the goal, the end, and they therefore they don't recognize the personal relationship to God, right? But that they can understand Brahman, and that they're Brahman, and come to the liberated platform. We also say the same thing, right? But Mayavad philosophy is when it's only that; it's exclusively monism, and it's Mayavad. But if it's just part of the facts of, you know, what's going on, then that's the, you know, proper philosophy.
And when Krishna manifested the cowherd boys and the cows, and then the relatives, like the mother and father, they felt so much affection, even more so than for their own sons and calves.
Mm-hmm.
And he played them like more perfectly than they themselves, like they were, he was like more Sudama or more than the actual, you know, like that. So, but then, right? So can you clear that up?
What's to be cleared?
I don't know. I just
means if they're not there, then their parents are going to get worried. So therefore, Krishna plays the part.
Yeah, but how?
How is Krishna going to go back to Vrindavan with no cowherd boys and no cows? Right? It'll be a problem. Lord Brahma's taken them, so he expands as all the cows and the cowherd boys and the cows. Right? For 1 year, and then when Brahma comes back. Right, because for him it's just a moment, and then when he comes back, then he sees that, you know, they're all Krishna.
But how does he play them more perfectly?
Because he is.
The point is like this: would you have a problem if Shakespeare took one of the roles in his play and played it better than the actors played it, because he wrote the script? Would you have a problem with that? No, okay. So then, why couldn't he play it better? You know, so he knows how to be the perfect son or the perfect, you know, everything, because he's created it. So he knows the full nature.
Yeah, I think this part of the false ego is saying that, well, something must be mine. You know,
your desire is yours.
But no aspect of individuality, like personality.
It means you're. What does desire indicate?
Free will.
Yeah. So that's the individual. Right. You and your friends go to the restaurant. You order one thing, they order another, and everybody orders something different. What's that? Is that individuality?
Yeah.
So, why is that there? Because there's consciousness. That's the soul. So free will, that is what you have. That desire. That independent consciousness. That's what's there.
Until, yeah.
You understand? The problem is you misuse it. Mm. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So the point is just like this. The criminal has gone into the bank, taken the money, and now he's spending it, right? So, is there a problem with money? Is there a problem with that specific money?
No.
What's the problem?
Stealing the money,
okay, but what's the problem in stealing the money?
Belongs to somebody else.
Because why do you call it stealing? Because he goes into the bank vault, takes out money. But then, you know, the bank manager goes into the bank vault and takes out money. So the action of taking money out, and we could say nobody takes it out of the bank. Plenty of people come to, everybody comes to the bank to take money away from the bank. Okay, so therefore, what's the stealing?
It's against the rules.
It's not against the rules to get money at a bank and take it home.
No permission.
Okay, but what is the why do you need permission? Why means
it's not his money.
Huh? It's not his money. So the sense of possession, this is mine.
Yeah.
That's where it goes wrong. You know what I'm saying? The bank teller deals with money all day. But if they think it's mine, there's a problem. If they think it belongs to the bank, it's not a problem. That's why I was saying that the duty doesn't change. You know what I'm saying? The bank teller is there, and he thinks this money's mine. And then he comes to the understanding that money's not mine, it belongs to the bank. Does his duty change? Does he do his duty better? Now that he has, yeah, that's the whole point. Is that if you're God conscious, you do your duties better because you actually understand what they're for. Because the world is only for serving God. Right? You know what I'm saying?
So from this discussion, then it's much more clear that I have no idea of my identity other than servant of Krishna. Like,
but that's pretty good, isn't that good? It's solid. It's eternal understanding. Any other understanding you have is not so eternal.
But it's a philosophical understanding.
Yeah, but what does it mean being an Ulster Scot? You know, what does that do for you? Is that now set, you know, what your occupation is and what you should eat for lunch and what you should wear? You know what I'm saying? So how does that help you?
Yeah.
You know, so you're born in this family and you're this guy's son and that's your mother.
Mm.
Right? So how does that also decide all this for you? Right, because they're trying to tell you how you should dress and eat, and you're telling them, hey, forget it, I'm going to do my own thing. Right? So how does all this identity that one has, the only identity one has is that I can do whatever I like. So whatever I happen to be doing right now, that's my identity. So if right now my identity is I'm servant of Krishna, then there shouldn't be any problem. It's no different than what you're already doing in the way of it being theoretical. But the difference is those others are changing. But this is real. This is actually real and eternal.
And that false personality is made up of ideas?
Yeah, you could say. Some scars, yeah. Just of your impressions from previous activities and lifetimes. Does that make sense?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then the living entities are his separated parts and parcels, because we're just defining what the living entity is. We haven't said whether they're liberated or conditioned.
Mm.
Right? So the first two adhikaranas then are establishing these elements. Right? Because to do that, Because living entities are eternal. Why? Because they're from God. Why are they subordinate? Because, you know, their position. Material nature is subordinate. So you have to be able to describe all three. So that means you have to give Krishna as the absolute. He's omnipotent. Right? Then, in the third adhikarana, that he's he tends to enjoy material nature and his forgetfulness. So this brings in the sixth dasamu. The living entity, due to his constitutional situation, as a marginal entity, may come under the sway of the material energy. Right? So then he's conditioned. Then, again, due to his marginal nature, the living entity in the liberated condition is free from the influence of material nature. Right? Because he's marginal, he can come under. But because he's marginal, he's not material nature, so he doesn't have to come under. But it works both ways. Just as it's a problem that can get you in here, it's also what will get you out. Because if we were from material nature, we'd never get out, because we're just part of the scene. Right? So like that. Then we have eight, the living entity, and everything in this material cosmos is simultaneously one in difference from the Supreme Lord. Right? Does that make sense? Right. So that then brings out this point making there, simultaneously one and different. So Krishna is everything because of the oneness. At the same time, we're different. But because we're different, it hasn't reduced Krishna at all. Right? Does that make sense?
It means that there is only the Vaishnava culture we can explain that Achintya Bhidabhya Tattva.
Yes.
For all the other philosophies, they cannot, they stop before. Like this living entity in the liberated condition is free of the influence of material nature. All the other philosophies are below. In this Samula Tattva progression.
No, because they can get you to the liberated platform.
Yes.
It means it depends, of course, what you're talking about. But if you're talking about Vedanta, it means anything below Vedanta won't get you back. It means they talk about the liberated state, but they don't actually know what the soul is.
Yes.
Right? Because basically, whether they're eternal or not is not so much. There seems to be the element that there's you can eternally situate yourself, but the element of the individuality, then most of the philosophies, that's not an established, that's not a point. Either they're not worried about it, or you know, they don't consider it important. You know what I'm saying? But Vedanta, then when it comes to the liberated platform, so, because you're looking at some aspect, you're looking at the aspect of just that, instead of the difference between God and the living entity is what's common. Because if you establish a relationship, you look for what's common.
Yes.
Right? So that is done. So you're Vishuddha-dvaita. Mm-hmm. Right? Problem is because of that, then the Mayavadis could also take it that, see, yes, there is a commonality, so therefore we are gods. So then Madhvacharya makes it very clear, no, it's two, this dvaita. Like that, right? And dvaita advaita is you're looking at it, that you can look at it both ways. You know, he's God at the same time as Rasaraj, and you don't have that element where he worries about it. So the dvaita advaita, these two perspectives become important when you're dealing with the Raghunuga Bhakti. Right? But the Chinta Beta Veda Tattva, where dvaita and advaita are happening simultaneously, that's generally not gotten into so much. That's why we don't have any difficulty dealing with all these other philosophies. Right? We don't have a problem. You know, that the materialist is totally absorbed in his relationships and all. We don't have a problem that there's relationships. So what we have a problem is that the relationships don't include the Lord. Right? So that's a different perspective. So it doesn't have to change the relationships. But to bring it to its proper extent, there might be some adjustment in the detail. You know what I'm saying? Because if you include God in the, you know, you may have to make some adjustments. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like a, how you say, you know, there's, you know, two kids out in the backyard, you know, with their, you know, old tin can and some other things and some water and some leaves and a few sticks, and they're cooking lunch. Then if a third kid comes, it's no problem. You just adjust a little bit and three can fit there. Probably even five could fit, you know, you could start a whole restaurant, right? But now if you know you wanted to invite somebody over for lunch, and you might have to move the whole process into the house in the kitchen. You know what I'm saying? So there might need to be some adjustment depending upon how far away it is from some of reality of something to offer to Krishna. Does that make sense? Because see, if you have the difficult, that means in the universal form, then there we had the element of where Krishna's talking about whether he's the cause of something or he is something. You know what I'm saying? So even your things that are sinful, the potency that you're looking for in it is still him. Right? But it's not that way of relating is not him as a person. It's only his potency. It's the immanent element. That makes sense? So if something is unauthorized, then it's only that potency that you're looking at. When it's authorized, then you're dealing with Paramatma. Right? But it has to be done for the person, right, to come to the devotional. They're saying to be Bhagavan. You see? So a devotee may use those elements to progress through. Does that make sense? So we don't have any difficulty dealing with any of these aspects. So that means you could talk to anybody, anywhere, in any situation, and from that situation bring them forward in God consciousness. Does that make sense? Because one sees how the whole philosophy works. In other words, it's not just what is memorized so many points in the philosophy, but one understands how it works. That's what this whole study is for, is we see how it progresses. Right? Yeah? Because the living entities are part and parcel of the Lord, because and subordinate to the Lord, because the material in nature is there. Therefore, you know, God is the ultimate goal. But some living entities don't see it like that. Right? But the only way that they will see it is if the Lord tells them, because he's beyond. Right? So it's by that association, then one can come back to that position of serving the Lord. Yes?
What did you mean by authorized?
Authorized.
Yeah, Paramatma. You said if it's...
Means, in other words, the Shastra says this is a proper activity to do. Right? Then you're dealing with Paramatma. Because then you're dealing with the Lord and his sanctioning and all that. If it's something that's not authorized, there is still a quality of Sagun Brahman in it that you're looking for. We will still be in illusion, think it's the dead matter. But it's not. It's the quality in Sagun Brahman that we're trying to appreciate. Right? You understand? But you can't take it any further than that, because the activity itself is not technically authorized. But there's been some connection made to the Lord. Right? But what one's going to get from it is not as much as if the connection is made, you know, it's authorized and it's done to please Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It takes one out of the dreaming state, you know?
Yeah.
Is this the philosophy is like reality?
It's reality, and it goes into anything. So there's nothing we can't deal with. You know, that's the point. You know. So this is the philosophical. That's very clear. You can take that philosophical and apply it into any topic. Right. So that means anything, anywhere you can see in relationship to the Lord. So we're comfortable with all this, that we, you know, seen it all, right?
And it says that like Sambandha is establishing a relationship with Krishna.
Yes.
So.
Because that's because he is the fountainhead of all relationships and love. So if he's the fountainhead, that means everything eventually goes back to there, because you're dealing with energy.
Yes.
So energy, as long as it's connected, it exists, but when it's disconnected, it doesn't.
Yes.
Right? So this idea that the quantumists have, that you know there's a star and it's putting out light in it, and the rays are going, and then when the light it burns out, then the rays keep going.
Yes.
It doesn't happen like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as it's going, it's connected. When it goes off, then they're not connected anymore. So the light's not there. You know, so. Therefore, we're still connected to the Lord, but we don't see it because we don't want to see it. We want to be independent.
Yes.
Right? So if God's the enjoyer, then how will we be the enjoyer? Because he's so much better at it than we are. You know, so it's just like...
It's not fair.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's the first thing. You go out to the competition, right? So in this case, since God is everything, then you won't be able to get rid of the competition. So therefore, when it's covered by illusion... So that one doesn't know there's any competition. Any real competition. Of course, everybody else is at a competition, but they're not actually competition. You know, it's like two, you know, the two guys stuck in the... this is the meaning of how sleeping, you can perfect your life, go back to Godhead. So even though the camera's sleeping, it can still perform its duty.
Yeah, that's actually true. Yeah.
Right? That you have two guys, right, you know, out in the desert, you know, delirious, and somehow or another they're both seeing the same, what do you call it?
Oasis
there, and they're both fighting over the same coconut. You know, like that. So then they're competition for each other. Right? Yeah. That's the thing. Okay? Okay, so now we can look at this next. Unless we should go through the details. No. Okay. Anybody else has this, or only I have this? I don't have it? So this is an illusion. Unless this is about the coconut, right? You know, no, I have the coconut. No, I have the coconut. So only you and I have this. Okay. more clear there. Okay. And then when will others have this?
Approximately 1 week.
No, but I'm saying this much of it? It would take a week?
Well, this much I can manage sooner, maybe try to Thursday.
But this is not... Oh, I mean you're still working on this?
Yes. Yeah,
exactly. Oh, okay. Now I get it. Trying to think, says nobody's here. You know, all we have to do is copy it. No, but it'll take a week. We're doing a very good job of copying.
He's actually with a pen and a ruler.
Yeah, no, it's like that. Well, actually, he etches them.
Etches sketch.
Yes. Okay. So here is now thematic study part 2, section 1. Man's duty towards Godhead. And this is still a Samanda, right?
No.
This is Abhideya. Okay. Okay, so then we have here. We'll also now go through, show what all the Adhikaranas are. How many we have? 4 Adhikaranas. Okay. So, okay. And this has how many lessons?
35.
35. And then the next one is also...
The next one has 17, but this is the second section
of this one. Yeah. Okay. And then the last one is three. Okay, so there's another 20 after this. Okay, so it gets... So we've dealt with... Oh, okay. So it means the last three sections are the same size as the first one, basically. So that was 46.
Yeah, but we start 35
and then you have 17, and then... Oh, 35, excuse me, yeah, that's right, okay. Okay, Adhikarana 1, every living entity being God's parts and parcel, it is everyone's duty to cooperate with him by performing transcendental loving service, right? So now we're taking, we have the same point, but it's being taken to a further step, right? You know, that every living entity is part and parcel of Godhead. Yeah. Right? And then subordinate. So here the subordination is by performing transcendental duty. Right? So it's very, very nicely. First we're establishing just the nature of the living entity and how he is to be, his relationship with God, to be subordinate to the Lord. Right? So now we're bringing in, because it's Abhideya, then actually the devotional element here. Adhikarana 2. Good work, salvation by knowledge, or perfection by mystic powers, are all subordinate to the transcendent loving service of the Lord. Right? Because now we've taken it the individual who has that kind of consciousness, it's still, that's not going to get them anywhere. Right? It's only by the consciousness given by the Lord and his associates. Right, then can make work. So here it's being bring out more again that the work itself, the good work, the knowledge, and the perfection by mystic powers, that's not going to. I mean that they're all subordinate to the devotional service, right? Because before it was just to know God. So here it's about the devotional service is they're subordinate to that. They may be able to be engaged in the Lord's service, but they don't have a position separate from devotional service. Then, such pure devotional service of God is attainable by the association of saints. See, again, the whole point is that the Lord and his associates, they're the only ones that can give this. Right? And 4, Krishna is the ideal saint. So one should approach Sri Krishna through his transparent medium, spiritual master, and thus Sri Krishna will reveal himself. Because he's the origin of all saints, so he's the Adi Guru. So you approach him through Guru, and then being pleased, he'll reveal himself. So we see that it's a similar, last time, but now we get the flavor is more of the devotional process. So instead of being, means it's Gita, but it has that flavor that you'll catch in Nectar Devotion.
Yes.
Because Nectar Devotion is just taking those points and exclusively dealing with those. It doesn't, they establish, you know, the supremacy of the Lord and everything, but it's the same topic because there's only Bhagavatam, right? Does that make sense? But you're going to have the element of you know, the nature of everything, the definition of everything, the process and the goal. So depending where you're emphasizing, and then Gita is dealing with the fundamental principles, while the Bhagavatam is dealing with the same principles, but on a level that has the sophistication of application, right? Of those who are following the Vedic culture. Right? They've already accepted all of that. So it means Bhagavatam, you're not having to establish the need to follow Vedic culture. They're already following it. So now the need is to establish the devotional and self-realization also doesn't have to be established. Right? It's application of self-realization in one's life to develop love for Godhead. That's what's being discussed. So anything preliminary to that, that's being discussed in the Gita. Right? Does that make sense? But it's not that there's more. So, because there's this idea, oh, if I read this scripture, I'll get something more. No, there's only this. We see here is that, again, what was in the 6 Adhikaranas before is explained here in 4. Same thing, but now it's going to a deeper level. So you can go deeper and deeper, but it's not that there's going to be more points. It's not that, you know, there's God, there's material energy, and there's the living entity. But when I get to higher levels, then there'll be something else also. You know? Does that make sense? No, it doesn't change. No. Okay, Adhikarana 1. Every living entity, right, means that was the four Adhikaranas. Now the Adhikarana is with the lessons. Right? Because the lesson brings out the detail. And that's where... See, because the Adhikaranas, you see they flow very nicely. And then the lessons are also doing that, but there's things to establish that get in the way of that. So that this is where the confusion comes up. Because we were wondering, well, why does this come in here? But to accept that every living entity is parts and parcels, or it's their duty, or they have to cooperate, or they have to perform devotional service, these all have to be established. Right? Does that make sense? So the lessons do that. Lesson 1. Dr. Seuss is having some problems. See, he's taking it so seriously to heart. You said about sleeping. So he's just checking out the sleeping part.
He won't be getting any more accessories if he doesn't start recording them.
And I'm sure that will keep him up tonight, you know, being recording all night, to be recording anything.
I know it's random, who didn't, you know. Where have you been? Oh, here we go, it's working.
Okay, Adhikarana 1. Every living entity, being Godhead's parts and parcel, it is everyone's duty to cooperate with him by performing transcendental service. Right? So lessons 1 through 7. Lesson 1. Every living entity, being Godhead's parts and parcel, it is everyone's duty to cooperate with him. Okay, so the lesson 1 is the first Adhikarana. Okay. So technically what I always have to remember is that every lesson is an Adhikarana, or every point being made in the process of the Panchanga Nyaya is an Adhikarana. But they're still supporting the primary Adhikarana, which will be the thesis. Okay? So then in here, generally we're going to say, so the primary one means the first lesson will be the Adhikarana. The other ones we're just referring to as lessons. Okay? Just in case somebody wants to get technical on you or something. There are two types of living entities. A, those who are in the material world, and B, those who are in the spiritual world. Right? So Dasamula is describing that. Means there's every living entity is part and parcel. Right? Then there's those who are conditioned, those who are liberated. Now, but it's everyone's duty to cooperate with him. So that means the liberated cooperate, but also the conditioned should cooperate. The two conditioned cooperate, then they'll come to their natural position of what they're supposed to be doing as a living entity. So being non-conditioned is their normal situation, so if they cooperate with the Lord, they'll come back to that. If they don't, then they'll remain conditioned. Lesson 3. Those who are in the material world are subjected to threefold miseries inflicted by the material energy. Right? That was the point before. Because he has a tendency to enjoy, therefore he's suffering. Right? So, yeah. If you're in there, you're subjected to these things. Now, whether they bother you more or less because of your attachment, the more you're attached, the more they'll bother you. The less you're attached, the less they'll bother you. Right? And if you're attached to Krishna, then technically they won't bother you. It doesn't mean they won't be there, but it's just something you just work with and work around. You know what I'm saying? When you want something to go a particular way and there's any obstacle, it will bother you. But if you accept that there's going to be all these obstacles, then it's just something you deal with. Right? That's the difference. Like sometimes we notice that here, it'll come up as a question in the devotees' minds that if I'm a devotee, why should they be there? No, but that's just the material energy. Those in the material world are subjected to threefold miseries. Right? We don't see them necessarily happening in the Lord's pastimes because they're not in the material world. Right? Does that make sense? Boma lila, there is no. So therefore, anything that appears like what's here is only to enhance the pastime. Right? So this being a reflection of that, that means whatever comes up as an obstacle then can be used in the Lord's service to enhance one's relationship with the Lord. Does that make sense? Lesson 4, the spiritualists remain in complete harmony with the plan of God by cooperation. Means if you cooperate with the Lord, then you're in harmony. And then there's no problem. It's when one's not in harmony that there'll be problems. You know, just like when you throw the rock into the water, you get concentric rings. So there's harmony. So there's no conflict. But you throw many rocks, then they conflict. Like that. So the point is the harmony. That's the why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is one of his papers was called The Harmonist. You know, what it meant was how to create harmony between the living entity and the Lord. Right? By engaging material energy properly in the Lord's service. So therefore the harmonist. The materialist lesson 5. The materialists are servant of passion and anger born of demoniac principles and are therefore punished by the external energy of Godhead Maya. Right?
Yeah.
Like that. Because the Lord and His energy are non-different. So therefore the energy then takes care. So she represents the Lord just as the spiritual master represents the Lord. So therefore Maya represents the Lord. Right? So she is, you know, Godhead Maya. Right? And she's and being, you know, the representative of the Lord, then she's got the authority and the potency to, you know, make it happen. Right? So it's not that, you know, we'll be clever and get around it. You know what I'm saying? Just like before, means if you think about it, in the recorded history of Western history, was there ever a problem with tsunamis? You never hear about it. But just they work out so many other things like that. Now we've conquered material nature. She's got a new one for you. You know? You know, the bubonic plague, got rid of that, got rid of smallpox, got rid of, you know, all these different things like that. And then she's got AIDS. You know, or something else. You know, she's just, so it's not a problem. You know, she's the, you know, Godhead Maya. So she's got a...
Four times as creative as we are.
Yes, four times as creative.
A sporty spirit.
Yes. Hmm? Sportive spirit.
Yeah. Okay, lesson 6. So here it's also, you see, passion and anger, born of demoniac principles. It didn't say passion, ignorance, passion, anger. Because anger represents ignorance, but anger being applied here is because the passion's never fulfilled, so then anger is always there. So therefore you always have that violence.
So it's activity, whereas ignorance can be...
Yeah, just kind of...
Just sleeping.
Yes, sleeping. Yes. Stuck in the mud, or laziness. Like that. You know. So now we've moved on from that summit to the Abhideya. Now we're applying the sleeping and the laziness. Right? So then it becomes passion and anger. Right? So demoniac principles means it's against service to the Lord. Right? And is therefore punished. So it means all the things that go on in the world is punishment. Right? Like that. You know, because now and again things work okay, but that's because you have to stay here. You know, like that. So you have to have an idea that it'll be nice because you don't have any alternative. One hasn't shown interest in going back to knowing God. When you show interest in knowing God, then that's revealed. But until that time, then one has to think, I'm going to be happy here. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Is it that our happiness here is actually only the idea that we will be happy?
That's it.
And in reality, it's not there. Yeah.
Prahlad Maharaj talks about it, it's called Shruti Sukhat, uh-huh. The heard about happiness.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You hear about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. Because when you're there, it's just like you hear about, you know, vacation would be so great. Right. And that. But when you're there, you're right in the middle of it, and there's so many things to arrange, and you didn't pre-book that, and you forgot about that, and, you know, then, you know, something happens, you know. So there's all these obstacles and difficulties. But suppose you had a good time. When you go back, you spent so much time and money, what are you going to tell your friends?
It was great.
Yeah, of course. You got to, you know, otherwise they'll say, ah, you're an idiot. Because, you know, they're going to tell you theirs was great, but it was exactly the same. Like that, right? That's amazing. You know, you lost your traveler's checks. They lost their checkbook. You know, but it's the same thing, you know.
There's an analogy about that. I heard in one class in London, he said that he goes into this, there's a queue of people, and they're lining up to go into a circus tent. It's got lights and strobes and everything. Mm-hmm. It's in, all the music is playing. And then they queue up, and then when you get inside, it's like there's nothing. It's just like black. And then there's a spotlight on one very strong, large man who proceeds to beat you into like a pommel. And then you come out the other side, you know, and everybody's like, you know, eating, and everybody's like, what was it like? And you're like, yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
You know, like,
because you don't want to be the only one that's going to get it. So
when people say, "How are you?" Yeah, fine.
Yeah. I mean, you can go in the guy's leg in the hospital bed with all the tubes and everything. Oh, yeah, no, okay. Better today. Yeah.
To what we can contribute, some, you know, sometimes people get euphoric feelings, you know, like feeling of moment, like when they jump with parachute. Just adrenaline and blood, but it gives something.
Yeah, but I'm saying, the point is that, but where is that coming from? You know what I'm saying? If I put a flask of adrenaline on the counter, then, you know, your hairs stand on end. And
no,
the whole point is it's still Krishna. It's just that there is a mechanics to do that. You understand? The spiritual platform, then it's natural, because the living entity is non-different from a spiritual form. So therefore, the feelings and all that then will create all these. But here, because we're different, it all has to be done chemically. Right? So the point is it's still the potency that it makes it work, because it's dead matter, it's the Lord. So that doesn't matter. The point is you're euphoric because you were thinking that this would be good. You know what I'm saying?
Even at the moment, you know, there's some moments when it is.
Yeah, but I'm saying that for the one person, they're euphoric, and that's great, and another person, they're completely freaked out. You know what I'm saying? But same chemicals, it's just how you interpret it. It's not like there's a lot of chemicals here. It's just how you interpret the chemicals. You know what I'm saying? The guy's got to go on stage, you know, and do his speech, or he's got to go up to, you know, the girl and tell her his affections. The same chemicals, same butterflies, but one's interpreted one way and one's interpreted the other way. You know, does that make sense? Or, you know, you're sitting out there in your chair and waiting to go into the principal's office because you've done something wrong. You know, it's the same butterflies, you know. And say, so same chemicals, just you interpret it differently. Does that make sense? I'm sorry if this class kind of removes all of our, you know, yeah, these, all the different elements that we think that there's still something there in some corner, you know, because it seems to be having that effect. I hope that's good. Huh?
We'll forget anyway.
Oh, okay. That's true. Yeah. No, it's true, but yeah. But we walk out and we go home and then... Yeah. Okay. Lesson 6. Such a materialist, when listens to the instruction of Godhead, i.e. Bhagavad Gita, attains to transcend loving service of Godhead. So, the materialist, though they're situated in passion and ignorance, you know, or your passion and anger, born of demoniac qualities, if they hear the instruction of Godhead, then they attain to transcendental loving service. Right? So it's not that, no, only the really pious, and only the... No. Anybody. It doesn't matter who they are. They can attain to it. In Lesson 7, the utmost important duty of mankind is therefore to cooperate with the personality of Godhead. Right? So that goes to every living entity's being part and parcel of God is everyone's duty to cooperate with Him, right? So that's so the you know it closes that what do you call it that logic. Okay, Adhikarna 2. Good work, salvation by knowledge, or perfection by mystic powers are all subordinate to the transcendent loving service of Godhead. Right? So that's, and then the supporting lessons. Knowledge for salvation without attainment of transcendent loving service of Godhead leads simply to accept unnecessary sufferings. Because the nature of the living entity is to, you know, be happy in relationships. So to function outside of relationships and outside of the happiness that comes there is a problem for the living entity. Therefore, the impersonalist concept of salvation, their process, is going to be a trouble for the living entity. And the fun part is they're giving up the material, you know, the karma because of the trouble. Right? And it's only a trouble because they as a living entity can't, you know, the frustration of the relationship's not working, right? So because of the passion, it produces anger. Right? And so then in that case then they don't want to be involved in that. No relationships, no this and that. Does that make sense? But the not functioning within that is also a problem. But just as a karmi, they were very focused that if I do this, I'll be happy. Right? And so despite all the difficulty that's there, one pushes on. Right? So in the same way, once they get committed to the impersonal path, they go through the same problems, but just from the other side. Does that make sense? But, you know, it takes them a while to figure out that this doesn't work. Does that make sense? You know, so that's why you just go back and forth, karma and jnana, karma and jnana. Because then when this doesn't work, then you go, okay, well, it must be that. You know? Does that make sense? So that's always what's... Lesson 10. Real knowledge for salvation is as described in Bhagavad Gita. So what's... The Gita describes, or this Buddha Yoga... The devotional process, that's real salvation. Other things aren't actually real. Lesson 11. Everyone, maybe he, either Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or even less than a Shudra, must cooperate in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Right? So here, generally it always talks about Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, but here it also always throws in, or even less. Right, so that way then you catch everybody. Right? You know, otherwise, no one will be. Because the four are quite specific. But when you say less, then that's a very wide range. You know, so everybody is caught in that. So you don't have to worry if they're a Nishada or a Chandala or a Swapacha or Antyaja. It doesn't matter. If they're, you know, it catches all of them. Salvation. Yeah, so that's whatever the position one is supposed to serve the Lord. Salvation is not obtained simply by dry speculative adventures, but by service of Godhead only. So the others is through knowledge, through the speculation. They think that will bring them to that platform, but it's not. It's a matter of it's the devotional service only, because knowledge has to be applied. Results only come from an endeavor. Right? So that means you understand your position and apply it in service. Because jnana, there is no service, because there is no engagement of the senses. Right? So that's, you know, so salvation can't give the result. Lesson 13. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is just like the sun. Therefore, one is at once liberated from the nescience of matter as soon as he surrenders to Sri Krishna. Because he is the sun, therefore everything's illuminated. So, well, I can surrender. So if we're saying, no, but I've surrendered, it hasn't happened, then maybe we should then we're saying is, no, I've done my part, God's not doing his. Maybe it's like we haven't fully surrendered yet. We have to readdress that our definition of surrender. One should not desire to cooperate with Godhead conditionally for some material gain, right? Otherwise it won't be pure. And so then you still get a temporary result. So one can do that, but one will end up with that temporary result. You know, like the lady who was praying to God to, you know, lift the bundle back up on her head, and he personally came, put it back on their head, and then disappeared. So then, you know, it's not the ideal approach. Even if one agrees to cooperate, lesson 15, even if one agrees to cooperate with Godhead conditionally for some material gain, Godhead not only does satisfy one's material wants, but also gradually takes him to higher life. So he'll grant it, but he'll grant it in such a way that he'll remove it. But you want some facility, you'll get the facility, but then he'll also give the intelligence by which you see that that facility doesn't satisfy you. You know? And so because one's attached to it, one doesn't appreciate that. And like it was discussed this morning. You know this is what it is, but I'm still attached to the other position, but they don't go to, they don't work. Yeah. But he says gradually takes them. So he works it out so it's there. Adhikarana 3. Such pure devotional service of Godhead is attainable by the association of saints. Lesson 16. Well, that is 16. 17. By the mercy of Krishna. Only one can attain to Krishna by such association of saints. So by the mercy of Krishna, one gets the devotees. Right? And then by that grace of the devotees, one gets Krishna. That's Krishna's arrangement. It's because it's, so you get Krishna by the grace of the devotees because they recommend you to Krishna, and then Krishna accepts. Right? So here it's bringing out this element because we're trying to establish that the living entities are, subordinate, part and parcel subordinate to Godhead, and they're only going to attain perfection through devotional service. Right? Like that. So we're not getting into the fine points of devotional service because this is Gita. Right? So it is, its main thrust is Sambandha. Right? But we have to remember within Sambandha you're going to establish the field. You know, you deal with the desires, deal with needs, and deal with the process. Right? So all these four elements are going to come into it. Right? Does that make sense? And they'll define the process and define the goal, but the emphasis is on the understanding of all that. Does that make sense? So that's why even though this is the Abhideya section of it, it's still Abhideya within the definition of Sambandha. Alright? So that's what it makes it different from nectar devotion. Same philosophy, but nectar devotion will be applying it. Does that make sense? Well, here it's why it's worthy to be applied. Is that so? Lesson 18. So, if one develops the sense of associating with saintly devotees, he is blessed by Krishna. So, if you like to associate with devotees, you're comfortable with devotees, then Krishna blesses you. Right? Because Krishna likes to associate with devotees, right? So, if you like to associate, then there's common ground. Yes.
But sometimes you see different devotees, different natures, and some are very shy, or they can't present them to the pure devotees because of they feel how good they are, maybe they're.
Okay.
So is that all just due to Krishna?
No, but the point is to get the association. So when they speak or something's going on, you're involved. It's not that you have to go up and hey, you know. Homie, it's not like that.
But some devotees, even though they may be in fallen state, they still push to be in a pure devotee.
Whatever works.
As long as they get the association.
Yeah, it's just conditioning or what will work. Conditioning or that enthusiasm. So okay. One devotee was telling me they didn't know, it was very early, they were very new in this, quite early, I think it was back in the 60s, and so they saw that, you know, Prabhupada, the temple was at one place, but many times the temple was small, and so Prabhupada would stay in some other apartment or some other arrangement. And so then they had a car that would take Prabhupada there. And then I think later on, then devotees would go over and visit it at Prabhupada's house. I think the morning program, a certain part of the program would take place in the temple, but certain things would happen at Prabhupada's place. So this devotee decided, you know, to, you know, because it was just Prabhupada going and the person driving. And sometimes one other person came, I think, took Prabhupada over there. So they got plenty of room in the car. So they went and got in the car. They were in the car before Prabhupada came. And then Prabhupada came, got in the car, and they were already there. And, but because they were so bold like that, they didn't get tossed out, you know, like that. So they got a ride over there. And, I think they were informed about the, you know, etiquette and everything, but still. He who dares wins. You can always try. Worst that will happen when you get tossed out. Okay, Without associating with the saintly devotees, no one can develop God consciousness. There's no question on your own you can do it. There has to be association. Right? So, that's the main thing. But we can understand is that the association is the instruction. That's the main element. But by being with them, one sees how that's applied in their life, so that one can get something from there. Adhikarana 4. Sri Krishna is the ideal saint. So one should approach Sri Krishna through his transparent medium, the spiritual master. And thus Sri Krishna will reveal himself. Lesson 21. The last word of Sri Krishna is acceptable only to those who have undergone a transcendental training. Right? So that last word meaning how Krishna is saying that one should surrender to him, and the devotee dedicates everything to him like that. That will be only able to be practiced if one has undergone transcendental training. So therefore, by approaching the spiritual master, then only, and following that instruction, can you come to that platform. Otherwise, people have been reading that verse for, you know, a long time. But it's not happening. Lesson 22. Only one who is thus purged of all vices, he can pin his faith in the last word of Sri Krishna. Because if you have any attachment to vices, so vice here means anything that's not connected to Krishna. It doesn't specific, means it's broader, it means it's how you say. It's more, you could say, which way is being applied, but you have the external form, or vice will mean an activity that may not be properly sanctioned, or is a sanctioned activity, but one is overly emphasizing it. In other words, there's not balance or harmony. You're like eating is authorized, but you overeat, you know, or you have some other thing about eating, you know. Does that make sense? You know, it means you have to, when you eat, then after taking the first mouthful, the second one you have to throw at somebody or something. You know, it means, you know, it's a problem like that. Yeah. Okay. But the other thing is vice means any conditioning that means you're going to not function in relationship to the Lord. Right? Even if it's considered a pious thing. Right? 23. Such a pure in heart devotee is not only rare, but is very much dear to the heart of Sri Krishna. Right? So that's the point, it's a personal element. And so then Krishna is very pleased. So they're rare, and it's, you know, because you're talking about, even if the whole planet, all the human beings, took this position, it's still rare. Because how many living entities are there in the whole universe? Right? So it's not a problem of, you know. Yeah. 24. There are some typical signs on the person of such a pure devotee of Godhead to indicate his purity. So certain ways he behaves, or, you know, he's like Arjuna said, how does he talk, how does he walk, how does he behave, like that. Right? Then lesson 25. In order to attain to the stage of devotional mode of service, one should guard against such destructive habits as are described in Bhagavad Gita. Right? So all the things that are, all the bad qualities come out through. In other words, the lust being applied in a way that it's not, it can't be used progressively. So those are going to be destructive. Does that make sense? Like lust for money is greed, but if it's done through proper performance of work, your occupation, not stealing, not taking another's property, then you can purify yourself, because it said you can engage your occupation in the Lord's service. Right? But if it's outside of that, where that greed is now being applied, that you take other people's money and stuff like that, then it becomes destructive. Right? In other words, what's authorized is fine, and what's not authorized are against. But still, the principle and why you're involved in it, that's still always a problem. Right? So it still has to go back to being connected to the Lord. Lesson 26. One can begin to practice such devotional services under a bona fide spiritual master. By doing so, one can gradually revive his God consciousness, even in this mundane world. Right? Yeah. And that is then answering the next point. God consciousness, or transcendental loving service of Godhead, is never imposed artificially upon any living being, but is inherent in him. It can be revived only by practice. Because otherwise one may say, no, but gradually be done in this mundane world, but it's not this place. It has to be something different than the mundane, or only there. No, it's the natural thing of the living entity. Otherwise someone may say, no, it's just inherent. You're just awakening what's already there. Okay. So then we'll continue tomorrow.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Chanyatai Gaurav Vrindavan.